Let's see, on Daf Peh Omer Aleph, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, or the other Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. One of the Tanaim says that his ancestors were very fine Balabatim, and Balabatim should be Galil Ha'elyon, Ha'yud Be'Saba, and their homes were destroyed. What Avera did they do? So he attributes it to the following Averas. Number one, Shehayamarim Bechorshim. They used to graze their sheep. You're not allowed to be Megadol Behemadol in Eretz Yisrael, so they used to graze their sheep in the forests. This is problematic because the Gemara said on the previous daf that that's permissible. So what did he say that they were punished? The Gemara is going to explain. Shayimar and Bechorshim. The Donim Dinimam is Beyochid. Strictly speaking, you're probably allowed to sometimes. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos recommends Alti Hidon Yechidish and Don Yechidi Alech. So they violated that recommendation. These were the two averas that they did. One was they violated the recommendation of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Alti Dan Yechidi, and they were Dan Yechidi, and they grazed their sheep, Amarim Bechorshim. They used to graze their sheep in the forest. And then it continues. V'afal b'shoyelam chorshim samach lebateihem. So what's the problem? If they had a forest near their home, so it's mutter. We just said before it's mutter. So he explains they had a slight violation. In between their home and the forest, there was someone else in Soda, and they took, that's how Rashi learns, and they took their sheep through the other person's Soda. I don't understand. Why does Rashi have to say, what is that Rashi again? Why does the Sadek Tan have to belong to someone else? Even if it belongs to me, it's a problem of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, no? Why does Rashi say, I don't know. Why does Rashi say that a Shalachem Haisa?
I mean, the Rashba says,
that what?
That was their own field.
Even if it's their own field, it's also an Yisrael. The Pashta should be like that. Okay. So it's a problem. How did Rashi understand it? Rashi writes in the beginning of that Dibur also the same thing. So how does he start off on the left leg? Rashi starts off, and they didn't graze the sheep in someone else's field. What, you're not allowed even to graze in your own field because of Yishev Eretz Yisrael? What does Rashi say about grazing in someone else's field? I'm not sure what Rashi means here. From the beginning to the end, that Rashi is problematic. Okay, so the Tana says that his forefathers were religious balabatim. And the two things that they violated, they must have been learned people. If they would be done, dinimam and isbiyachid. So the two things that they violated, one was a disrecommendation, alti don yichidi, the other was a real did, that you're not allowed to graze behemadak and eretz yisrael. Tanu Rabbanan, Rosh, here's an interesting shot that just comes up. Someone called me up on the phone 2-3 years ago. He's a Baal Tshuva. He just became a Baal Tshuva. And his father has a non-kosher meat business. It's not basa b'chola, it's not isuri hanor, it's macholos asus. And his father does so well, so he put all the children as shutfim in the business. He wrote them all down as shutfim in the business. So the shaila is, and now he became religious, and now he found out that there's an isur that you're not allowed to be. We discussed that thesis somewhere over here on Pei Beis on Pei Beis. That is a Mishnah Shvius. It says Perek Zayin Mishnah Gimel. That's quoted in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Chav Gimel. That one is not permitted to be in a non-kosher food business if it's intended lachila. If you're megadol chazerim for the sake of the skin, so then mikra din that should be muta. That's not called skar b'macholos asuris, but that's a separate zera of the rabbanon. Also, Lodim Shigadal Chazer, or Hoi Shigadal Chazer, that's the Gemara on Pei Beis on the base. But if you raise Chazerim for food purposes, so that's a real Issa. Either in Issa Darais, in Issa Darabon, and Machalek Sachrain, what's the nature of that Issa? Whether the Psukim that the Gemara develops, the drushes from the Psukim in Psachim Dav Chav Gimel, whether those drushes are real, Drusha Gemura Darais, or just an Asma. So the question is, what if the person, He was never religious, and his father put down the two children as shutfim in his business, And now he becomes religious and he finds out that there's a din that you're not allowed to be in a non-kosher food business. So he has to sell his shares immediately. Father's going to be angry. Does he have to sell immediately? Did he say he gave him a chance to figure out how to dispose of his macholas asuras? That's nizdamnu. Nizdamnu is mutter. Nizdamnu like he got birusha. Okay, so it's mutter to remain in the business till he gets rid of it. But then how much time do you give him to get rid of it? So how does the Gemara say, Tanu Rabbanu Roya Shasa Tshuva? A fellow is a shepherd of Bei Medaka. And the Halacha says that that's not permissible. M'shin Nisha Beretz Yisrael. So Roya Shasa Tshuva finally decides to become observant. Eim Chai Ben Oselim Kamiyad. You don't tell me you have to sell all of your 20,000 sheep overnight. He just became religious, has to sell everything. Ela Mecher Al Yara Yara. Sells a little at a time. And he should make sure that he doesn't lose his money. He should sell it to Nochem, sell it to Chutzlort, sell it for Shechita purposes. He should dispose of it in the earliest available opportunity within reason. He doesn't have to lose money. Yes, it is din, Osaliris, Behema, Daka, Beretz, Adis, Anisa, de Rabbanu. What if it would be, let's say, the father would be in the Basa B'cholov business? Basa B'cholov is a Basa B'cholov deraisa. Basa B'cholov deraisa is Osa B'hanu. Or he would be in the Sharaniskal business, such as some kind of a, let's say, Chometz B'Pesach. The father has a bakery, and they bake cakes and cookies on Pesach. And the guy does tshuva right after Pesach. So you tell him, it's okay, just you wait till the earliest available opportunity. But you can't do that. He's over on Nisa Hanoh every minute. Chometz is also b'ol yorabai matzeh. Chometz is also b'anoh. You can't say, dispose of it the earliest available opportunity. So how come that the Sefta is Mekel over here? So Mestamu, we're dealing with an Issa Derabana. It's not an Issa Deraisa. Also, Legadol, the Hemed Daka Beretz Yisrael. So what about the Schoreba Machola Sasur? There's also a Machloikis Achreinim, whether that's an Issa Deraisa, an Issa Derabana. It's an Issa Derabana, so I can see that one might say, maybe it's called Nizdamnu. Look, it fell into his lap. His father put his name down. And now it becomes a Baal Tshuva, so he's stuck. He has this, so let's say the father dies, and he gets it Beirush and Nizdamni. Yes, and Nizdamni, you let him stay the Yoylam void like that? I don't think so. Father dies, and he leaves a non-kosher meat business for the children. And the children are religious. So you're going to say they can stay in the business the Yoylam void? I don't think so. Nizdamni means, let's say we were saying, if you're hunting for minks, because you want to use the fur, so once you're allowed to do that, that's chore b'macholos hasuris shalom l'shem achila, that's l'shem the mink, for the fur. Then once the Chof Mesodim said, once you have the animal, so you can sell the flesh also, you have to throw it out, that's nizdam, or a butcher, or a Tosis holds that the Yisus chore b'macholos hasuris even applies to chelov. In Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass on like that Tosis. The Achrayim in the back of the Gemara, I think, pointed out. The Vilna Dayan pointed out, someone, Shlomo the Vilna, one of the other Dayan. They point out in Shulchan Aruch we pass like the Rambam that Chelov is Mutter, Schor is Mutter and Chelov, because the Pasuk Chelov Nevelu Chelov Treifa Yosel L'chol Malacha that is Mutter due to Schor B'Chelov. But Tosfos holds you're not allowed to. But Nizdamna would be Mutter. So let's say you have a butcher and they shecht an animal and then the butcher removes the Chelov. So the butcher is allowed to sell the Chelov every time he shechts a new animal. It's right in Nizdamna. Every time it's going to be in Nizdamna. But let's say the guy gets a big Yerusha from his father of Behema Tmeya. So he can say, we would permit him to remain in the business, Le'ol Avod, for the next 50 years, and he can leave it be Yerusha to the grandchildren and the great grandchildren. The whole thing is Nizdamna. I don't think so. Nizdamna means, I would assume it's Nizdamna. It fell into his lap, but he has to get rid of it the earliest available opportunity. L'chor, does he have to dispose of it immediately? There's not a Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzeh on it. If it would be chametz, there wouldn't be any heter. It wouldn't say, well, when you got a chance and you're not going to lose any money, so get rid of the chametz. No, you have to get rid of the chametz before Pesach. If it's on Pesach, he has to burn it. It's also, so he can't get on Noah, and it's an Issa Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzeh, a real Issa Derais. Here, the Gemara is dealing with an Issa Derabonot, so it says, Eim Mechai Menos Alim Kami, Yara Lamecha Al Yara Yavachain Ger. Shnaflo klovim b'chazerim b'Yerushos. He got it from his father. They couldn't imagine that a Jew would raise klovim b'chazerim. So the only way to imagine it is that Ger is yashining from his father, from the Goyisha father. Ger shnaflo klovim chazerim b'Yerushos. Eim chavenos alim kabiyad alamerch al yara yad. This is an Issa de Rabbanan. There's an Issa de Rabbanon, so you can be reasonable about it. You don't have to insist that he should sell right away. If it would be Basa B'chalav Deraisa, that's Asa B'hanor, I don't think you would say he's not allowed to sell it. He's not allowed to sell it, period. It's Asa B'hanor. If it would be Ba'irah B'aymatzah, also before Pesach. You can't be easy about it. He has to dispose of his share. But he'll be schar b'macholos asuris. What would you say? What would you say if he'll be schar b'macholos asuris? If schar b'macholos asuris and isa deraisa, tani muta bin izdamnu. So he gets a birusha from the father. He becomes a bal tshuva. Is that called nizdamnu? Nizdamnu. So also you can wait. The fact that nizdamnu is muta by schar b'macholos asuris. So you can sell it al yad. You don't have to sell it right away, but it has to be within soon. Shouldn't be. You don't give him 10 years to sell it. Has to sell it quickly. Just he doesn't have to sell it at a loss immediately. The first minute that he becomes a bal tshuva, he can be reasonable about it. Take a little bit of time, but he can't take 5 years. He can't take a whole year either. He has to dispose of it as soon as possible.
We assume it's the Rabban?
I think most assume that it's only the Rabban. Schor Machol Sasuris. Most Achrenim assume it's only the Rabban. Yeah.
What about if it was Asher
Bahana with the Rabban, like Chol Shalom of Pesach? Asher Midah Rabbanah. So he's not allowed to get Anah, period. So there is no het in his name. He can't say dispose of it quickly. He's going to dispose of it, he's going to get Anah, he's going to sell it. So he's not allowed to sell. There is an obscure opinion that we don't accept la halacha. I think it's the Beis Yankev. He whatever he says is always outvoted. The Shal Shul is Beis Yankev. So I think he says that chomet she'ovel avat pesach is asabana is only for the one who violated the avera. For everybody else is muta. So if the father violated by Rabbi Matz, and then the father dies after Pesach, and I get a birusha, so it's muta b'ano to me. It's only asabana to the father. So the Paskim say it's against all the Gemaras. Usually what the Beis Yankim says is outvoted. He only said one thing that they accepted, about Trey Ruby, that Maim Shein Lahem Suf, that's all. So at the time that he said it, that wasn't accepted either. And then a few centuries later, that was accepted. That if you have a woman is an Aguna, because she drowned the Maim Shein Lahem Suf, but you have a double Roiv, so if you have a double Roiv, then Maim Shein Lahem Suf, the Roiv is that he drowned. So one roiv the chachamim wa machmir, but if you have a double roiv, then you would be meikel. As for example, so the guy was walking on a bridge, and the river is iced over. The whole river is icy. You can walk, you can drive your car on the river, and the guy falls down from the bridge all the way down 10 stories down till the river, and he cracks his head on the ice, and then he was so heavy he makes a hole in the ice and he falls through in the water. So the roiv is that people who fall down 10 flights, 10 stories. And crack the head on the ice, get killed from the impact. I feel in Tips Lama that he survived that he didn't get killed from the impact of crashing his head on the ice, but then he drowned, then he made a hole, and then he fell through into the water. So whoever drowns in the water drowns. Either he died because of the impact, or he died because of the drowning. Or let's say there's an airplane. So the airplane, someone put a bomb on the airplane. So the airplane explodes in midair, and then it crashes on the ground, and the whole thing goes on fire. So you have probably have three roivs. That one roiv, when the bomb goes off, Mistama, the roiv of the people are going to get killed from the bomb. And then whoever survived the bomb is going to get killed from the impact, the crashing down to the ground. Whoever survives the impact is going to get the whole thing burned later on. Even though you don't retrieve a body later on, you have three roivs in such a case. So whenever you have trei ruvei, then the chachamim were not machma maim shein lahem suf. So that was originally formulated, I think, by the Beis Yankev, one of the early achrayim. So at the time that he said it, they didn't accept it because they never accepted anything that he said. Everything he said was down the drain. And then a few centuries later, they reconsidered this issue, and the accepted opinion is that we are mekel on that, on the trei ruvei. That's an Eretz Yisrael. Whenever they have... When the submarine disappeared, and whenever they have an airplane crash or something, not so often. So whenever there's a, whenever they can't retrieve a body, so whenever they have a trei ruvei, so they make on that. Anyway, so this opinion of the Beis Yankev is not accepted. He says that chomet she'ovel avat pesach is only osa b'ano for the bal avera. L'didei kansu, l'bnei lo kansu, to the children you didn't consent, that's not the accepted opinion. We assume it's awesome enough for everybody. So if a guy yarshins chomet shavala pesach, my rich uncle dies and it leaves me chomet shavala pesach, it's also banu. So period. So I have to throw it out in the garbage. I can't use it for anything. You can't give it away to a goy. If you give it away to a goy, so if it's a nochri hamakiro, if it's a goy whom I know who it is, the super, I give it to him. So then it's considered getting hanor from it, because the super is going to do me favors now because I gave him this chomet shavala pesach. I gave him a babla shnaps. And if it's a nachri shein makiro, if it's goy, I don't know, I'm going to stop a car at a red light, and I'm going to say, who wants a bottle of schnapps? And a shikra goy is going to take it. So then the Gemara says that it's an isa of lois achanim. You're not going to give a matan schinim to a nachri. If it's a nachri hamakiro, then it's not a matan schinim. He's going to give me something back in exchange. So there's no violation of lois achanim. Then it's a violation of isuri hanor, because by my giving this bottle of schnapps, chametz shalal pesach, to the goy, he's going to do me a favor later on. So you can't give it away to a goy. You can leave it on the, let's say, in my apartment building. So half of the tenants are Jewish, half of the tenants are Nachrim. So who, before Pesach, everybody has a lot of chametz. All the religious Jews have a lot of chametz left over. So they leave all the boxes of crackers and everything on the table downstairs, candies. They leave it on the table in the hallway. And whichever guy wants it, takes it. I don't know. I don't think the Reivran Lois Achanim, they didn't give a matan schinim to the Nachri. They didn't give a matan schinim, they should really give it all to the super. That would be a Nachri HaMakir, before Pesach, when it's still Mutabana. I don't think that's a Nisa of Lois Achanim. Lois Achanim is, if you give it to a particular Nachri, if I just leave it on the corner, I have a bottle of schnapps that's Chamash all about Pesach, and I leave it on the corner, so some Nachri will take it. So, that's not a Nisa of Lois Achanim. Lois Achanim is, you're not allowed to give a matan schinim to a particular nachri, not to make a yedidus, not to make a friendship with a particular nachri. If you put it on the table and you walk away, then you're not developing any yedidus. You're not going to know who's going to take it. Nachamal said, the Gemara starts, the Braisa, the Tosefta starts off with these dinim derabbanim. Also, liris behem ledako beretz Yisrael. Also, legadul chazerim and klovim b'chol mokaim. So if someone got it, he fell into it. They're not so strict. Then the Gemara moves on to a din d'araisa. They took a netter, he's going to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. And then, how can you take a netter to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael? And there is always an Isa Chepta. Isa Chepta has to be B'Shevi Altasa. How is it possible to take a netter to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael? Unless you say it's Nidre Mitzvah. Nidre Mitzvah Chal B'Kum V'Yaseh. Baruch Humish is that kashin, beginning of Parshas Matos. How can you have there's a neder and there's an adov. A person says, Hare Alai Shlomim, that's a neder. So even if he's mafrish a behemah and it dies or it gets lost, he's mechuyev to substitute another behemah instead. Because that's a neder. If he didn't say Hare Alai, he just says Hare Zu Shlomim, Hare Zu Ayla. So that's an adov, so that is not Chai B'Achri Yisuf. So the Ramban asks, how can there be such a thing as a neder to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash? A neder has to be an Issa Chefza. A shvuah is an isa garis. It can either be b'kum v'yaseh or b'shevi al taseh. But a neder is an isa chefze. It always has to be b'shevi al taseh. How is it possible to have a neder b'kum v'yaseh? So the Tosus writes in the Dorim, in the first parak in the Dorim, that all nidrei mitzvah achal b'kum v'yaseh. The Ramban thinks only nidrei hegdash achal b'kum v'yaseh. Because amirasa l'gavoy, kimsirasa l'hed yadami, makes a shiva nechosim on his property, that makes an isa chefze. Anyway, but the simple reading of this braisa, this Tosefta, is Mishanoda Likach Bayis, Eretz Yisrael. He took a neder, he's going to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. So Nidrei Mitzvah.
Don't the Rishonim talk about neder b'lashon shvuah?
Yeah, this would be a shvuah b'lashon neder. It says, Hareini know there that I'm going to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. So even though he said Hareini know there, but Tzitzi ends off, I'm going to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. So how would you treat it? You can't treat it like a neder. To buy a home in Eretz Yisrael is a din on the gavra b'kum v'yaseh. So you have to say what? That's a shvuah b'loshen neder. He said that's not what it usually. You the machlekes are rishanim neder b'loshen shvuah b'loshen neder. The rishanim have a machlekes. Let's say a fellow has to go on a diet. A doctor says he has to go on a diet. He has to lose weight. So he's afraid he's going to eat. violate the diet. So he knows that he's religious, so he's going to take a nether. So he takes a nether not to eat potato chips, not to eat cookies, and not to eat the ice cream.
Fine.
So if he takes a nether, I will not eat potato chips, that's a shvur. Already nishba, I will not eat potato chips. So if he wants to formulate a nether properly, he should say, I take a nether that all potato chips and all ice cream and all cookies in the world should be asa b'achila alai. So if he says, I take a nether that I'm not going to eat potato chips, that's called the nether b'loshen shvur. He said, I take a nether, it's a nether. But he said, I take a nether, I will not eat potato chips. That's a nether b'loshen shvur. Or the reverse, the fellow says, I take a shvur. So he should say, I take a shvur that I will not eat potato chips. So he doesn't say that. He says, I take a shvur that all potato chips are asa b'achila alai. So he took a shvua, but he said the shvua b'loshen eder. He said it b'loshen chetzim. So that's a big machlokes in Rishonim. The first half in the Dharma, that base on the base. After the Rishonim say it's good mitam yad. Yad means an incomplete sentence. Grammatically, he didn't formulate the sentence properly. There are words missing. So the yad usually means there are words missing. And here it's a question, there are no words missing. He filled in all the words, but he said it improperly. So that's a machlokes. Is that also considered a yad? Well, no, a yad is only if there are words missing. If you said it wrong, it's not called a yad. So that's a machlokes. Yeah, but here is tzedrei. Here he says, harini nodir, chemisha nodar, I take a nether, I'm going to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. So what are you going to say? It's a nether for losh and shvua. So how can you make it for losh and nether? You can't. You can't have a nether bikum v'yase. It's impossible.
Why isn't that the same case of shalom ucha?
I take a nether, I will not eat potato chips. So that's a yad. We, since he said, I already know there, so it's a nether. He says, I will not eat potato chips. What he meant to say was, I take a nether, potato chips will be also b'achila alai.
Because it's in the negative?
Yeah, that's shaykh to say. That's b'shevi al-tasa. But over here, it's b'kum b'yasei. How can you have a nether b'kum b'yasei? It doesn't exist. He takes a nether to marry this girl. He takes a nether to get married. He's going to marry within him. No, he takes a nether to marry a girl. So when does he have to fulfill a nether? He has to find the right girl. Takes a nether, he's going to buy a home in Yerushalayim. He has to find an appropriate home. Doesn't want to buy a doghouse. That's what the Brisa says. You don't mechayiv him that he should get married immediately. You have to get married today before Shkia in order not to violate the nether. He said, took a nether, he's going to get married. You have to be mechayiv. No, it has to be within reason. Till he finds the right girl.
Okay. This is the Ramban that Rabbi quoted with that it's only by Klech. So he understands the Sugya and the Dharm, that it's all the Rabbanan, the Amr of Gidl, that Lassus Kizik, the.
I don't know what he understands. It's problematic. Not sure what he understands. Ramban HaChumash, the beginning of Parshas Matos, seems to understand, seems to assume that a neder bikum b'yasei is only shaykh by korbonos, because amirasa l'gevakim, sirasa l'hed yidami, creates a din on the cheftza. It makes a shiva nechosim on the cheftza. But if it will be something other than that, other nidrei mitzvah, a guy takes a neder, I will learn daf yomi. So if the Ramban seems to hold that it doesn't exist, I, the Gemara says, Neder got a neder like a case. So some Shem says labdavke means a shvur. It doesn't mean a neder. But this is not really called. This is not a neder b'loshen shvur. Neder b'loshen shvur means I take a neder. I will not eat potato chips. So what he really meant to say was I take a neder. Potato chips will be osra alai. It's shaykh to reformulate it b'shevi al tasa. But here it's a neder b'kum v'yasei. Neder b'kum v'yasei. There's no way to correct it. So Tosis holds a nidrei mitzvah b'kum v'yasei acha. That's what you see from korbanos. There's neder and gover, and neder is a take a neder to bring a korban oila, and take a neder to bring a korban shlamim. So that neder is chal b'kum v'yasei. Yeah. So here also, fellow takes a neder. He's going to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael. It's yishuvar. It's not only lomit boy to buy from a nachri. That's for sure a mitzvah. That's gulas oretz to buy it up from the nachri. But even to buy a home from a Jew, that I have an achiza in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But I own a home. A bigger mitzvah would be you own a home and you live there. The second best is you own a home, you don't live there. Okay. Third best is you support the Yishuv. Okay. So it says in the Braisa, so this is already a din d'oraisa emchai ben also, when a person takes a neder or a shvua that is going to get married, emchai ben also, likach miyad. You don't say that he has to buy the home before the sun sets. He has to get married today before the shkia. or he has to get married to the girl that he's dating. Let's say the girl is chalashing to marry him, and he's mesupik, and then he takes him there, he's going to get married. Of course he's going to get married, but he has to make sure that this is the right girl. He shouldn't shtel a chuppah before he knows for sure, before he's convinced that this is the right girl. His son was giving the mother a hard time. Probably the father died, and the mother was in mourning for 10 years. So the son kept on hacking the mother. Why don't you remarry? So she took a neder, she was a learned woman. She took a shvua. She knew a neder bekumbi aseis nacha. Maybe the son was learning. So the son told his mother, "I want you to take a shvua, not to take a neder." She took a shvua. Whoever proposes, I'll accept the proposal. So some nitwit proposed to the girl. So the shayla is, she mechuyev to observe the shvua? And people started to propose that were not shaykh to her. So that's a din derais. That in the Dharm halacha haloshim riyadam. Haloshim riyadam, you always make an umdana. What did the person mean when he took the neder? The person didn't mean that they're going to marry the first one who proposes, even if it's not hagun. They meant the first hagun who's going to. I'm not going to dilly dally. If a reasonable shidduch comes along, a reasonable home comes along, I'll buy the home. So that's Eim Chayvin also to do with miyad. That's a din deraisis. So this they carried over. It's not really a hemshech. It's not really a shachas. So he said, "Benegir to the din derabbanon. You're not letting me go to behemah dakan eretz yisrael. This fellow violated this, and now he does tshuva." So you don't bop him over the head, tell him he has to sell all of his 20,000 sheep, the whole herd that he has. You don't have to tell him he has to sell it all in one day. You dispose of it a little at a time, as quickly as possible, within reason. And the same thing, the ger, shenoflo klovim b'chazerim b'yirusha, is also a mechayv and also limker miyad. Okay, that's a psadin de rabbanon. Just like by a din de raisa, you say it goes within reason, because ben dorm halocha achalosh meniot. So by the din the rabbam nosat, chachamim wanted the din should be reasonable. Okay. Kshem shamer emegad mehem adaka. Why? Because I'm going to destroy the yishuv. Kach emegad lehem chay adaka. The same this. It's not only behem adaka. Rabbi Shmuel Amer, there are certain animals that you may raise in Eretz Yisrael. What are those? Megadim klovim kofrim. What are klovim kofrim? So Rashi has two pshatim exactly what it is. The first pshat is that they're nanosim are midgets. So apparently midget dogs don't pose a problem. Second pshat is, no, they're big dogs, but they're hunting dogs. They're not mazikim. They don't start up with people. The prohibition against raising dogs is b'chol mokam, not only in Eretz Yisrael. The prohibition against raising dogs is because they're going to frighten people and they're going to be mazik. So klovim kofriim, Rashi's in the second interpretation, is that the hunting dogs, so they don't start up with people. They only start up with deer, with animals. Okay. So he says there are certain animals that you may raise. Why? The garden klovim kofrim, okay, v'chatulim, cats, chatulim, cats, v'kupim, monkeys, okay, if you have a pet monkey. V'chul v'sasloim. Why is it permissible to raise cats in the house? Because they're good to eat up all of the mice. That's what Rashi says. Nakir sabais. How do they not care what the cat is going to lick up the plates? Cat is going to lick up the floor, make it clean. No, he's going to eat up the mice, Rashi says. Nakir sabais to eat up the mice. Fine. Then the Gemara has on Amid Beis. It depends what kind of a chasul. Sometimes chasul is very dangerous. Most of the cats are not dangerous. If you have a chasul that's dangerous, of course you're not allowed to raise such a chasul. What kind of an animal is a chuldus hasloim? What is that? Okay, so the Gemara raises the question, what says my chuldus hasloim? I'm Rav Yude, shart shrotza charza. What does that mean? What is a shrotza charza? Some kind of a sheretz. Ika de amri, charza dikteni shake v'raya beni vardeni. Some other kind of a sheretz. Some other kind of shemayna shvatz mamur matar are rodents. They're not bugs. The shemayna shvatz mametame b'mago. They're not metame b'masa. And nivlas behemo. The shemayna shvatz ma specific rodents that are mentioned in the chumash. And other animals are not metame. Only those shemayna shvatz mamur matar metame b'mago. And what's the sheer kadasha? Kadasha is a tiny bevel. It's a much less than a kazayis. If you have the meat that they sell in the A&P, the pork or even the kosher meat that they sell, that's all available. So nivlas behema v'chaya that never had a shchita is mitame b'mago u'b'masa, even if it's wrapped up, or even if I'm wearing gloves and it's wrapped up, and there's no maga, but there's masa, I pick it up, so that's mitame b'mago u'b'masa, but for that you need a kazayis. What if you have an animal that's a suffix, whether it's a behema, or it's suffix, whether it's one of the shmadosh ratzim? But that's what Tosis quotes, a Mishnah from Kilayim. Tosis dictaini shaka. The Tosis quotes, Mishmachi Tanan, it says it's in a holos. Why should it be in a holos? On the other hand, why should it be in Klein? It shouldn't be in Klein either. So the Mishnah talks about Chuldas Asloim. So they quote Beishamai. Usually whenever Beishamai says something, Beisil disagree. The Mishnah doesn't quote that Beisil disagree. Beishamai formulated the din. Tosis assumes that that's the din. You have a certain type of an animal. It's a chulda is one of the Shmaya Shvatz Mahamur Matur. That's metame only b'maga. It's not metame b'masa, but it's metame b'maga b'kadasha. You don't even have to have a kazai. It's metame kadasha, a tiny amount. So if you would know that this specific animal is a chulda, so a chulda is only metame b'maga and it's metame b'kadasha. If it's a chulda sasnoim, that's not exactly the same as a normal chulda. That has already a shem lavai, because it's not exactly the same. It has tall legs, Taisa explains. A regular chulda, a weasel, has short legs. And this chulda, sasnoim, has tall legs. The Mishnah quotes, Rabbi Yossi says in the name of Beis Shammai, that it's a suffix in halacha, whether we treat chulda, sasnoim, like a regular chulda, as one of the Shmona Shots, or you treat it like a regular chaya, a regular behemoth v'chaya, tmeo. In which case it's metame b'magal u'b'masa, but then you would need a kazai. So you have to go the chumra in both directions. So it's metame b'magal kadasha. Maybe it's one of the shmona shotzim. And it's metame b'masa, provided you have a kazai. So what's for sure? A chulda ha'amur batar, a chulda is one of the shmona shotzim. So the Gemara says, "Emai shrotza demitatoi shake." And which sheretz is it? Which chulda is it that is one of the Shmaya Shvatzim? That's how the Rabbi Natan reads. Chayn der Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan reads the Gemara. Vika di Amri, what's a chulda sasna? Has the Gemara said, Vika di Amri, what's a chulda sasna? Shvatz de tikteni shake. Veraya beni vardeni. Has thin legs, has tall legs, thin legs. Umay shvatza, and which is the chulda? That's for sure from the Shmaya Shvatzim. Dimitatoi shake, that has short legs. But this chulda sasloim that has tall legs, that's a sfeikah adina. Whether that's the chulda hamur batur, what that's one of the shmona shvatzim, or it's a regular behemah v'chayim. That's how the Rabbi Natan learns pshat in this gemara. In other words, the gemara is adopting Beis Shammai's position that there's no machlokes in Beis Shammai. Usually, when you say Beis Shammai, it takes you off right away. That's what they say. Beis Shammai don't maybe here. Tosfos says our gemara is assuming the din is like Beis Shammai. There is no Beis Shammai recorded that they disagree. Amar Avira my Rav, Asinu Atzmeinu B'Bavol Ke'eretz Yisrael Le'Behemah Dako. Why? Because it's such a borough park, flatbush. There's such a Jewish yishuv. So there's an issa not to destroy the Jewish borough park, flatbush. There are no grazing areas. But if there would be a Jewish yishuv somewhere in Chutz Loretz, so you wouldn't be allowed to raise Behemah Dako there because you're destroying the yishuv. Okay? The Shaila is, when did this happen? Amar Avira my Rav, Asinu Atzmeinu B'Bavol Geretz Yisrael Behemah Dako. That occurred when Rav came to Bavel, or that occurred earlier. So Rashi has two pshatim over here. How does the Gemara say later? Ika diyamri omer avune alsinu atzmeinu b'bavel Geretz Yisrael Behemah Dako michi yosu Rav Bavel. The first version is omer av yudah marav. Rav Yudah is the Amoira who is a Talmud of Rav. He says the name Rav. The second version is Ika diyamri omer avune. Rav Avune says on his own. When Rav came to Bavel, we started observing this din in Bavel, in the Jewish area in Bavel, that you're not allowed to raise Behemah Dako because they're going to destroy the Jewish issue. So Rashi has two pshatim, an issue of history. Rashi writes, Rabu misyash from Shomim bnei yeshivasai, because Rav founded a yeshiva, some more Jewish farmers moved in into the neighborhood. Rabu Hamishyashim Shamim, because of Rav's yeshiva. So the first pshat Rashi is Mechiyos Rav LeBavel. From that time on, they started the yeshiv in Bavel became heavier. The Jewish yeshiv became heavier. So from that time on, the din applies even to Bavel. Lishnachrina Rashi says, no, Michiyasa Rab Lebalum, where Rav came, he told us that the din was always like that, not Mikara Lahabo, that the sociological change occurred, this geographical change, whatever you call it, the change occurred after Rav came to Bavel and he founded the yeshiva and more farmers started moving around the yeshiva. No, Rav said this was always like that from the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, from the time before the Churban Bayis Sheni. How does Rashi write? Lishnachrina, Churban Bayis Rishon. Lishnachrina, who Bavelim donel hizor b'kach shirosham, Rav Yisrael, the yeshiv kavur. And when did that develop? So Rashi writes earlier, Bavel keretz Yisrael shem b'yom golus yechonyam. That's Churban Bayis Rishon, before Churban Bayis Rishon. Rashi earlier writes, shem b'yom golus yechonyam, Rav b'sham b'talmidim, v'nisyash b'sham b'yishiv kavur. That's the pshat that Tesis likes. Let's see the Tesis. M'chiyosa Rav l'bal pirushkanz, v'hoi m'siyash b'sham b'nei yishiv osoy. So the first pshat Tesis quotes is that Mikana l'habo, after Rav founded his yeshiva, some more farmers started moving around in the vicinity. But Rav said the same thing. So Kenyans at Pirush Perkam to Gittin Avav. What is the Gemara in Gittin about when a shaliach lo hilochas haget, a shliach delivers the get to the wife? So he asked this, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, so we assume the get was written l'shma. Rav became l'shma. But if the get was written in Chutz Lortz, and then the first Mishnah in Gittin starts off, I may be get from Medina Sayam, if a shliach lo hilocha comes from Chutz Lortz to deliver a get to the wife, whether he's delivering a get to the wife from New York to California, from New York to Tel Aviv, doesn't make a difference. If the get originated, the get was nichtam in Chutz Lortz, so the shliach has to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, because in Chutz Lortz and that became l'shma. So the Gemara says, Michiyosa Rav Lebovel, from that time on, Asinu Atzamina Bebovel, Keretz Yisrael Legit, Michiyosa Rav Lebovel, what happened? V'naseinu became l'shma, mitoch shahir bo yeshivas. After Rav founded his yeshiva, the people became more learned, so then the more medactic can see this aget l'shma. So historically, from that time on, they started to be medactic more and see this aget l'shma. So that phrase, Michiyosa Rav Lebovel, means Mikana Lahabod, it didn't change. Mikana Lahabod. So Taisus in first interpretation is that in our Gemara, as well as that Gemara in Gittin Davov, it means the same thing. Chiyar Sarav Lebavel Mikar Lahabod. The din is like that. The Kosh of the Rabbi in Tam Dim Kein. The Gemara in Gittin doesn't read state my parachas mimas nisin. The Mishnah in the first Mishnah in Gittin lists off what are the borders of Eretz Yisrael. It gives northeast, southeast, northeast, southwest, and this is it. This is Eretz Yisrael, and anything outside of this is Chutz Lortz. The Gemara asked Akasha, what you just said that Bavel is Keretz Yisrael in Gittin. So isn't it against the Mishnah? So Tosfos says, my parachas from the Mishnah is written before Rav came to Bavel. Way before. Mishnah was edited by Rav Yura Anasi. After Rav came to Bavel, it didn't change. Mikanal Habot. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Because Rabbi Natamim Kain. If that's how you translate this phrase, Mechiyos, Rav Lebavel, there was a sociological change. The people became more learned. Or over here, the farmers moved in around the yeshivas. And the whole situation changed. That's why they didn't change. So what's the kasha in my parachas? I must need some doctor to carry to get Abel Bavel. Oh, the Mishnah gives you the borders, but Bavel is outside of the borders. So Tosfos says the kasha. Valo Mishnah is nishin kodesh doser Abel Bavel. What's the kasha? Farish ben etam hasam chiyoser Abel Bavel. Horalon is b'mos yichonya. A chodesh v'amaz gives shigog Abel Bavel. Then Elias carry to Yisrael again. That's how Rashi wrote over here the other pshat. Rashi wrote two pshat. So he said the other pshat is from the time before the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Yom Golas Yichonya, Rabbi Shama Talmidim Shine. So this is the other pshat. The Rabbi Natan prefers the second pshat in Rashi. So Mechiyos Rav Lebavel means Rav told us that the din was always so. Not Mikana Lahabod. Now that Rav made a yeshiva, Mikana Lahabod is more learning. No, Rav brought our attention the fact that they're very learned there in Bavel. Mimos Yichon Yivacharish Mamas Yishkal Lebav Din Liz Keret Solmi Shebikim Lishmai Chen Kam Lenim Hei Madaka Chen Yesh Bereish Ervin Shai. That's the machlokes. What does that phrase mean? Michiyosa Rav Lebavel means when Rav came to Bavel, there was a major change, and from that time on, some of the dinim changed. That's one pshat in Rashi, and the Rabbi Natan prefers the other pshat. Michiyosa Rav Lebavel. Rav brought our attention that the situation had already been different from years before, from centuries before, since the days of before the Churban Bayis Rishon, the days of the Yechonion, the Choresh Ramaz. So what does it say by Yasa Nigamar? Yasa Rab Lebavil. So the first one that says it is Amrav Yudah Marav. Asinatz Menet Bavakar Tzela Behemadar. The next one that says it Amrav Hune. Rav Hune says Anazan. Asinatz Menet Bavakar Tzela Behemadar. Mechiyasa Rab Lebavil. What does that mean? Either Rab told us that that's the din, or from that time on, the whole situation changed. So then the Gemara says, Amale Ravara Baravale Rav Hune. Hey, he says, they're buddies. He says, I noticed that you have a Behemadaka. Aren't you in violation? He lived in Bavel. So are you not in violation of the din? You're not, you just said a din. Rabbi Yehuda said a din. In the name of Rav, you're not allowed to raise Behemadaka in Bavel because it's going to destroy the Jewish Yishuv. Are you not in violation of the din? Didoch Mai, how come you have Behemadaka? So he says, Amale, Didan Kamintru Lo Chayvim. His wife's name was Chayvim. Mrs. Rav Huna. Mrs. Huna was called Mrs. Huna, Mrs. Chayva Huna. So the Ravada Barabba was not happy about this when Rav Huna tells him, my wife is taking care of the Behemoth doctors. So he gives her a curse, the simple pshat. Amalei Chayva, your wife Chayva, tikberina libna. She should lose all of her children. So the Gemara said this was a curse. Kulish nei the Ravada Barabba, as long as this rabbi who cursed Rav Huna's wife, as long as during his lifetime she, all of her children died. Lo yikayim zara le Rav Huna mechayva. Maybe he had some other wife. That's rare. It sounds from the Gemara, he never had any children from this wife. Sounds like he had children from another wife. But in the days of the Tanoim, the days of the Amoraim, it was very rare for anyone to have more than one wife. There's a Mishnah at the end of the second Perek in Yevamos. There's a din based on that assumption, that it was very, very rare that anyone had Tanoim Amoraim Balabatim. In the days of the Tanoim Amoraim, there was Nachem de Rabbi Negershim yet. But it was very rare that anyone had two wives. So it says, the Loshana Gemara sounds like Ravada Barava. As long as Rav Ada Bar Ava was alive, he was the one who cursed Chayva. She should bury all of her children. So Rav Huna never had children who survived from that wife Chayva. Sounds as if he had children from another wife. Yeah, this is one shot. Chayva tikberina lebna. Yeah. How does Tosis give another pshat? Pirush Abin Chananel. Bitmiya. Chidaka likba panel. Sheino asekis. What do you mean? Isn't your wife busy raising the children? Who's going to watch the children if your wife is watching the babies? That's how Rabbeinu Chananel learns. Pashim shadim b'chavetik b'rinu l'bno. Ravada Barava is angry at Chayva. Ravun is relying on his wife Chayva, and he gives her a curse. She's doing wrong. She should bury all of her children. She shouldn't have any children who should, because she knows she's in violation of the din. Chayva was a learned woman. She knows she's violating this din. That is also l'gadol behemadaka nalon in Eretz Yisrael, even in Bavel as well. Chiyasa rav lebal. So the Rabbi Chananel has a different shot. Chayva tikberina lebna. What do you mean? She's busy watching the behemoths. So who's going to watch the children? The children are going to get sick and they're going to die if the mother doesn't watch them. How can it be that she's busy watching the behemadaka? V'chidaka likba b'na she'ena sekes l'gadlon. Ela sekes l'gadol tzom. Well, she's busy watching the sheep. So who's going to watch the children? So what happened? The children died. Why did the children die? He didn't curse them. So the Rabbi Chananel says, that's a Loshon HaGemara in the third parak in Moed Kotten, that someone made a comment, one of the Amorai made a comment to the other Amorai. He didn't really say a Loshon of a Klola, but he said with a Kpeda, so it sounded like a curse, so the curse was fulfilled. The implied curse was fulfilled. That's called Shkoga Sheyotze Melifne HaShalit. A great person says something that sounds like a curse, even though that's not what he meant, so the curse will be fulfilled. So this is how the Rabbeinu Chananel says. However, Tosis says, Perek Shnei Nazirim, the Gemara has like this. Also, Rav Ada Bar Ava was a buddy-buddy with Rav Huna. So Rav Huna's children had no payas, modern Orthodox. So Rav Ada Bar Ava asked them, who cut off your children's payas? So he says, my wife, Chayva. So he says, Chayva tikberin al lebna. So what are you going to say over there? It sounds like a curse. She should lose her children. She's cutting off her children's payas. They should all die. She shouldn't have nachas from the children. They should all die. How can you read the Gemara like the Rabbeinu Chananel? Rabbeinu Chananel reads our Gemara. What do you mean? Chayva is busy watching the sheep? If Chayva is watching the sheep, that they shouldn't be mazik, so who's going to be watching the children? What? Tikbrinu lebna? She's mafka her children because she's busy watching. So how can you interpret that in the Gemara in Nazir? Gav Yaakov Saroish. And Shach lefarish kendom lerabad barav leravuna ledidoch. Your children don't have any payas. Man makiflu, who cut off their payas? He says, my wife Chayva. That's a machlekes in the Gemara. Is a woman is a woman permitted to cut off the payas of a man? Or is a man permitted to cut off the payas of a child? Let's say to cut off the payas of a behemoth. I have a barbershop, and they bring a behemoth in for a haircut. So I'm permitted to cut off the payas of a behemoth. Or let's say a nochri comes in. I'm permitted to cut off the payas of a nochri. It doesn't make a difference whether it's a separate issue on the makif, on the nikif. You can philosophize from today till next year. That's mutter. The Tesis and Shavuos, right? That's mutter. I'm a Jewish barber, and a guy comes in, he wants me to shave him with a razor. His head to garment, there's no problem. But if he's a Jew, if it's a Jewish barber and a Jewish customer, so the Jewish barber is not allowed to cut off the payas of the customer. So the shaila the Gemara has is, the machlokes hamaraim is, what's the nature of the issa? Is it sort of an issa lifnei iver? I said, what do you need it for? There already is an issa lifnei iver. It's a good question. Why do you need another issa? Or is it an independent issa? What's an afkamina? So the Gemara says, the nafkamina, there are two nafkaminas. One nafkamina is, what if the one whose payas we're cutting off is a cotton? So if it's lifnei iver, if it's a form of lifnei iver, so then there's no issa, because the cotton is not a not mechuyev, it's not a bar chiyuva. So then a gadol would be permitted. Gadol makif is hakotten would not be over an issa. But if it's an independent issa, there's a lav la makif and a lav la nikif, a separate lav on a makif and a separate lav on a nikif. That's what the Ravid writes in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Where's the Ravid? The Ravid is in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. So we have Hasogas HaRavid in the Sefer HaMitzvahs also. So the Rambam counts as one lav that you're not allowed to shave off your payas and you're not allowed to shave off Pas HaZokan. So the Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. You should have counted these as two lavim. Lav LaMakif, Lav LaNikev, Lav LaMashchis, Lav LaNishchis. Is the Ravid on mitzvahs loisese mem gimel. The Rambam counts one lav not to shave off the beard, not to shave off pas hazak, and one lav not to shave off the pas harosh. Rambam happens to hold that the use of pas harosh is only violated if you shave off with a razor. If you hold that using an electric shave is mutter on the beard, so the Rambam holds mutter on the peis also. And Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam got it from a Tosefta and Makkos, that's what it sounds like. It says beferish. The Tosefta says the prohibition of Hakofas Haroish, Pas Haroish, only applies Bitar, just like Pas HaZakan is only prohibited Bitar. And Taisa splits between the two. The common people have shaven faces on the bottom. Why don't they shave off their face on top? Because we're all Choshish for Taisa Shita. Taisa writes it based on the Gemara Nazir. The simple reading in the Gemara Nazir is against that Tosefta. The Taisa says the Gemara Nazir is against the Tosefta, so he passed like the Gemara. The Gemara held that the Tosefta is Mishabeshti. So the Rambam calls it, he said, not to shave off the Pas HaRosh, and not to shave off the Pas HaZokan. There's one Issa on Pas HaRosh, one Issa on Pas HaZokan. And the Ravid is Masig, you should have counted as two. Lav la makif, lav la nikif, lav la mashchis, but lav la nishchis. The Rambam should have counted it as two lav. Yeah. What leads the Ravid? Because the Gemara says, lo sakifu, in the plural. Echad la makif, echad la nikif. The Rambam should have counted them as two lav. So what is the? How come the Rambam counts it as one lav? So apparently the Rambam holds that the iser on the iser see the Gemara has this machlokes: is it permissible to shave off the peis of a kotel? So one Amora is of the opinion that there's only an iser on the basic iser is on the nikif. You're not allowed to have your peis cut off, and the lav on the makif is not to violate lifnei iver. Not to cause the other fellow to violate his aver. So if the other fellow is a cotton, so then there's no issa. Then there's no issa. And if you know that the lav is a lav sort of along the lines of lifnei iver, then even a woman who would shave off the pace of a man would also be in violation. She's shaving off the man's pace, causing him to violate his aver. So that'll be an issa of lifnei iver. But if you hold along the lines of lifnei iver, but if you should hold that the lav la makif is a separate lav, so then you have an Issa deraisa to shave off the pace of a cotton, even though the cotton is not a bar chiyuva. To shave off the pace of a nochri is mutta. That's the Tosfos in Shavuos Daf Daled Amud Aleph. You're not going to say that it's a separate lav lamaki if you're over an Issa deraisa and you shave off the pace of a cotton. So what the name? You're over an Issa deraisa, even you shave off the pace of a goy. No, Tosfos says shave is pengas of a goy. This is like pace of a behemoth. That is no problem at all. So again, so the Gemara makes these two issues totally separate. It's a double machlokes hamaraim there in Nazir. The Kerenoi Ran Nozer on Daf Nun Zayin explains Poshe Pshat and Gemara. It's a double machloikis. If you hold that the Yisr on the Makiv is not Betoras Lifne either, it's an independent Yisr, then a woman would not be forbidden to shave off the pace of a man. Because women are excluded from this lav of Hakofas Pasarosh. Not only because a woman's beard is abnormal, so it's a lav shmei beard. The woman is permitted to shave off Pasarosh. A woman has Pasarosh. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. Whoever doesn't have pasar zaken doesn't have pasar rosh. So the women are allowed to shave off their peis with a razor. There's no iser at all. So if the iser on the makif is an iser, a sort of lifne even, not because the nikif to violate his aveira, so then a woman would be forbidden to shave off the peis of a man. And but there would be no prohibition in shaving off the peis of a katan, because katan is not a bar chiyuva, so there's no lifne even. But if you should say that it's the iser on the makif is an independent iser, so then it would be permissible for a woman to shave off the pace of a man. It's not an Yisr Lifnei Iver, it's a separate Yisr. The women are exempt from these dinim, because the women don't have a beard normally, so they're exempt from the whole din. Even Pasar Rosh is mutter, and everything is mutter. And then it would be an Yisr Deraisa if a Godel would shave off the pace of a Kotan. Even though the Kotan is not a Bar Chiyuva, there's no form of Lifnei Iver. But it's an independent Isra on the part of the market. So that's...
Even if you hold it's an independent Isra, it still doesn't have Lifnei Iver in it. Meaning, the man number that holds it, there's a lot of the market. Well, Chirish should still hold it. There's still the Fachos as a Lifnei Iver.
Why shouldn't there be a Lifnei Iver? Right. Because of Lifnei Iver. So Rabbi Kivega talks about that. That's the famous Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the page in Yerideya. How can you say that a woman is permitted to shave off the pace of a man? What happened to the regular lifniva? Forget about your hakira, what's the nature of the lavla market. What about the regular lifniva? So Rabbi Kivega says, Hacham askinon, the man is standing with a razor, he's going to shave off his own beard. He's going to shave off his own pace. He's going to over on Isa deraisa. And the woman says, can I help you? Let me shave off your pace. So she's volunteering to minimize his avera. So he's going to shave off his pay, he's going to violate an aver bikum v'yaseh. Like this, at least it'll only be b'shevi altas. So that's what Rabbi Kivega says, then there's no lifnei iver. So that's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, has a tshuva like that. He says, let's say a kohen fell in love, a kohen is going out with two girls. One of them is a nochris, and one is a grusha. He's going to marry one of these two girls, and he's convinced that he wants to marry the nochris. He's not going to marry a girl from Beis Yankiv, it's out of the question. So, and I convince him that he should marry the grusha rather than marry the nochris. So that's a mitzvah. That's not an avera of lifniva that I coaxed him, I encouraged him to marry the grusha. Since what my motivation to convince the kohen to marry the grusha is to spare him from marrying the nochris, which is an isa yosei chomer, so to convince a person to do an isa kal because he's prepared to do an isa chomer, that's afrusha meisura. So that's not a violation of lifniva. That's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's tshuva, based on this Rebbe Kivega on the bottom page. Yes, your kasha. How can you say, how can the Shulchan Aruch pass the mutter for the woman to shave off the man's payas? What happened to the regular race of Lifneva? Forget about what the nature of the lavla market is. So that's what he says. It must be that that's the case we're talking about. Otherwise, it'll be a regular Lifneva. So we pass the lalocha that the Issa Makif is a separate Issa. So therefore, a woman is permitted to cut off the pace of a man. Rabbi Kivega modifies it, only in such a case. And it's also to shave off the pace of a cotton. Even though there's no lifne, it's not a form of lifne either, the cotton is not a bachiyuva. So now comes the machlekes, the Ramam and the Raivit. See, the Gemara had one opinion, there's only an Isser Nikif. And the Isser on the Makif, that's learned out from the plural, Loisakifu, in the plural, Lavla Makif, Lavla Nikif, Echara Makif, Echara Nikif, the nature of the Isser Makif is Lifneiver. Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, the Makif is a separate Isser. So now the Shaila is, do we still stick with our assumption there's an Isser on the Nikif? And now we say, in addition, there's an Isser on the Makif. So that's what the Raivit holds, it should be counted twice. Lavla makif, lavla nikif, lavla mashkes, lavla nishkes. And the Rambam apparently holds not so. The first opinion in the Gemara held is only an Isser on the nikif, and the lavla makif is a lifnei iver. The second opinion holds is only an Isser on the makif. There is no Isser on the nikif. If I sit in the barber chair and I say I want a haircut, and I don't tell him what kind of a haircut, and I don't move, and he shaves off, he takes a razor and he shaves off my payas. So the Raivit says in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, The Rama quotes the dinim of cutting off pace and uchas avodizor because he goes to shitasar. He explains in the Mar Nevuchim that this is also because by the galochim. Why come and call them galochim? The Christian ministers, because they used to shave off their beards and the pays with a razor. But the Rambam says the prohibition against shaving off the beard and the pays is that we shouldn't go chukas hagoyim. So the Rambam quotes these dinim of hakofas, pasar rosh, and pasar zakan. He quotes these dinim, same thing, tattooing. The Rambam holds that tattooing has to do with avodah zarah. The Gemara sounds like that. Making tattoos on your body has to do with avodah zarah. That's why the Rambam quotes the dinim of ksavas kak and hilchas avodah zarah. So when the Rambam writes the din, that the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Makkos, the Gemara says, if I sit in a barber chair and they shaved off my beard and my pace with a razor and I didn't move, so I don't get Malkus. If I the guy, the barber says, please lean over to the right, to the left, I'll be able to shave it off. So if I lean over and I help the barber, then the Gemara says, I get Malkus. So the Rambam just quotes this Gemara. If I lean over and I help the barber shave off the beard and the pays, I get Malkus. If I don't lean over, I don't get Malkus. The Rambam, it says, the Rambam should have explained better. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam should have explained better that whether you help the barber or not, you are in violation of the Lav Lanikiv. The only difference is, usually the Lav Lanikiv is a Lav Sheim Bamaisa, and if you lean over, then you make it into a Lav Sheish Bamaisa. So the question is, is the Ravid in disagreement with the Rambam? The Ravid says, Afal Pishen Eloike, Kevin Shemidaito Oso, I allow him to shave off my beard and face with a razor, Kevin Shemidaito Oso. I could have told him to stop. Over Balav, so the Ravid says, it's a Lav Sheim Bamaisa. If I lean over, I make it into a Lav Sheish Bamaisa, I'll be Loike. But an Avera I'm in violation of anyway. Because the Mishnah takes it that the Ravid is Masik on the Rambam, and the Rambam does not agree. The Rambam holds that his head to Goma. Why? So that's where Rav Elbala says that this Rambam is Lishitos in the Minyan HaMitzvus. The Rambam holds that the first opinion in the Gemara Nazir that Tosis is referring to, Daf Nun Zayin, first opinion held that there's basically only a Lav on the Nikiv, and the Lav on the Makiv is a form of Lifne Iver on the Nikiv. Then we don't pass like that, we pass the Lav on the Makiv is an independent Iser. So the Ravid understood once you get to the Maskana, you have two independent Iser, Lav on the Makiv, Lav on the Nikiv. There's a Lav on the Nikiv, which is usually a Lav Sheim Bamaisa. If you lean over, you make it into a Lav Sheish Bamaisa. And the Lav on the Makif is always a separate Lav. A separate Lav. That if you shave off the pace of a Jewish cotton, even though the cotton is not a Bar Chiyuva, you'll get Malkus. That'll be an Isur Derais. The Rambam holds no. Once you get to the Maskana, we paskin that the Lav on the Makif is an independent Lav, that's the whole Lav. There is no Lav on the Nikiv. The only time there's a Malkus on the Nikif is if the Nikif leans over, so it's considered as if he was the Makif. It's considered as if the Rambam Shita is that there's only an Isur on the Makif. There's no Isur on the Nikif at all. Unless the Nikif is Misayeya by leaning over in an awkward position. If he just sits there the way people normally sit and he doesn't sit in an awkward position, so the Rabbi holds that he's over a Lav, it's a Lav Sheim HaMaisa. The Rambam is not over any Lav. That's how the Kesef Mishnah takes it. He's not over any Lav. The only Yisr is not to be a Makif. If you're Misayeya, then you just became a Makif. That's the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. So the Rambam thinks that it's only one Lav, a Lav on a Makif. There is no Lav on the Nikif. And the Rabbi holds no, that there's a Lav on the Makif, a Lav on the Nikif, and it should have been counted as two Lavim in the Minyan HaMitzvos. It's a question, when you have a Pasuk that's written like that, Lo Sakifu, and the Gemara understands, Lo Sakifu, you could say, goes on all the Jewish men. Me, you, and the other guy. It goes on everybody. So Gemara says, no, Lo Sakif goes on the Makif and on the Nikif. Adrosha goes on the Makif. Instead of saying it goes on all the Klal Yisrael, we say it goes on the Makif and on the Nikif. So the Ravid is right that because Lo Sakif goes on the Makif and on the Nikif, so it should be counted twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. And the only justification for the Rambam is, I would have justified the Rambam said, it's Adrosha of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Rambam said that whatever is only known through Adrosha of the Torah Shabbat Peh, you don't count that in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. You only include in Minyan HaMitzvahs things that are Torah Shebichsav, Mefurish Bikro. Whatever is only a drasha that you're reading in between the lines is that doesn't belong in Minyan HaMitzvahs. So Rabbi Elbala didn't see it like that. He says that the Rambam here is Lishitos, so he thinks the Kesef Mishnah is right. Perek Yud Beis and Hilchos Avodah Zarah Halacha Aleph. Okay, he thinks the Kesef Mishnah is right, that according to the Rambam there's no Lav at all. If the Nikif is not Misayeya, it's not over any Lav at all. The Ravid says that there's a Lav, it's Lav Sheim HaMaisa. And the Rambam holds that there's no Lav at all. So the Rambam's opinion is that once you get to the Maskana that there's an independent Laban and Makif, that's all. There's only a Laban and Makif. There's no Laban and Nikif. If the Nikif will do a Misayeya, if he'll be Misayeya, then he'll become a Makif. Then he'll be a Vaidish. If he's not Misayeya, he's only a Nikif. There's no Laban and Nikif at all. That's why the Rambam only counted it as one Lav. If the Rambam would have agreed with the Ravid that the two independent Lavim, the Rambam would have also agreed to count it as two Lav. It's that assumption is questionable. The Pashtus is that the Rambam Lishitasa says that you don't count Torah Shabbat Peh. Any din that's on a mitzvah that's only known through the Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't belong in the Minyanah Mitzvahs. That's a famous piece from Avelvela Salavetchik in the Shurim HaNazir on Dachnun Zayin. He explains like that. So the Gemara tells that the Rabbah Barab and Rav Huna were friends. So he says, how come your children don't have payas? Who shaved off your children's payas? So he says, my wife. His wife is very learned, and she held that the halacha says that the lav on the makif is not a lifna either. If it would have been, that's how we pass the halacha, like choyva. We pass them like choyva. That is, the lav on the makif is not a form of lifna either. If it would have been lifna either, so a woman is not allowed to cut off the payas of a man either. But if it's a child before bar mitzvah, then imanav shechet should be mutter. Manav shachar should be mutter. If it's lifnei iver, so the child is a cotton. And if it's an independent isa, so she's a woman. So imanav shachar's mutter. So that's what Rabbah Rabbah asked Rav Huna, how come your children don't have payas? He said, my wife chayva cut off their payas, which is mutter imanav shachar. So he got so angry, Rabbah Rabbah, you have to let the children have payas mitam chinuch. Forget about the barber's going to violate an isa. So he says, Chayva tikbirin libna. Her children should drop dead. So there he says, there's no other way. You have to interpret that it's a curse. There's no other way to interpret. You can't say like Rabbeinu Hananel. No one's, what are you going to say? No one's watching the children. What does it have to do with watching the children? The Rambam, she gave the children a haircut. She is watching the children. She gave them a haircut. There's no other way to interpret it. Then Shaykh Sham Lefarish Ela Loshin Klola. The only way to read it is Beloshin Klola. Poshib Shat. Inam Yesh Loimer. In Yireya, a third pshat. Not like the Rabbeinu Hananel says, she's not watching her children, she's pasheya as a mother. She's not a good mother. She's a shepherdess. She's not a good mother. Her children are going to get sick and die. Or like Pasha pshat, the curse, a third pshat. Isn't she afraid that she's going to be punished, that she's doing something improper? Also bitmiya. He wants to interpret bitmiya. So that's a shayla. How do you translate this line? But it's a shayla here, and it's a shayla there. And those are dafnun zayin, the same question. How do you translate? So nachma, what happened? So the curse of Rabbah 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 lasted as long as he was alive. That's how the Gemara says. Kula shneid Rabbah Rabbah Rabbah, as long as he was alive, loikam zayla rabuna. After he died, then his curse evaporated. So strange. The curse is stronger because man the Mikalel is still alive. After Avada Barabba died, so then his curse died with him. Is that funny, Gemara? I don't know. Yeah.
In case of the pace, is there a mitzvah of
Is there a din of chinuch and lois essay? That's a big machlokes in Rishonim, because the Mishnah in the end of the last parak in Yuma says you have to be mechanach children to fast on Yom Kippur, not to violate the avera of eating on Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara says in the end of Yevamos in Parak Cheresh, Gemara has a machlokes, and many Rishonim hold the accepted opinion is that cut nechon nevelos, cut and clean on kosher food. Then bezem mitzvah nafrisha, bezem doesn't have to stop the child. How come bezem doesn't have to stop? What happened to the din of chinuch? So all the Rishonim are bothered with that kasha. Don't these two Gemaras seem to contradict each other? So half of the big split, half of the Rishonim give one teretz, half of the Rishonim give another teretz. Half of the Rishonim say that teretz, that chinuch only makes sense on a mitzvah saseh. That there's a concept of ena mitzvah v'yoseh. If a nochri will volunteer on mitzvah saseh, a nochri will sit in sukkah, a nochri will shake a lulav, there'll be a kima mitzvah. If a woman is a mitzvah saseh shazman gramu min apater, so if the woman will volunteer to shake a lulav and to listen to shoykh and to sit in sukkah, she'll have schar as an enem mitzvah. So it's the same a cotton. If the cotton will volunteer, he'll have schar. So that makes sense to introduce a mitzvah chinuch by mitzvah saseh. By mitzvah slay saseh, it doesn't make sense. So eating macholas asuris is only a mitzvah sloisase. So the other Gemara says, cut nech on the bailus, and bezim mitzvah nafisha. There's no din of chinuch on lavet. But fasting on Yom Kippur is not only a lavet, it's an ase, the Rambam writes. Whoever fasts on Yom Kippur, hares a kiyam mitzvah ase. So that's what half of the Balei HaTosfos say that teretz. Half of the Rishonim say that teretz. The other half of the Rishonim say no, that there's a din of chinuch. Chinuch is not necessarily there should be a kiyam on mitzvah now, as an ena mitzvah v'yos. I have to see to it that child should volunteer the mitzvah as an ena mitzvah v'yos. No, even on a loises, there's no such thing as ena mitzvah v'yos. The idea of chinuch is to train the child now so that he'll be in the habit of keeping the mitzvahs later, after he grows up. So to make him, to train him to be in the habit, applies equally to mitzvahs esay and to mitzvahs lois esay. How come the Gemara says, cut nech on the velos? Why don't you have to train the children to get to love him? So these Rishonim say the parents have to train him. The Bezdin is not mechuyif. The whole mitzvah of chinuch is only mutal on the parents, not mutal on others. And the other Rishonim didn't give that teretz, told that that's not true. The din of chinuch applies to everyone. The din of chinuch really is that the adults should see to it, l'hazik d'le malaktan, not necessarily our children. L'hazik d'le malaktan. The adults have to see to it that the children should fulfill all of the mitzvahs where there'll be a kiyum. That's in a mitzvah saseh, where there's a concept of ain a mitzvah v'yos. And a mitzvah slay says that there is no such concept. So that's a big machlokes. So in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, there's a siman about the chinuch of the ketanim. Which siman is that? Reish Mem Gimel or something? There's a siman in Hilchas Shabbos about chinuch. So the mechaber is machmer for the both directions. So he says, the mitzvah of chinuch applied, the parents have to observe chinuch even with respect to lois esed. The parents have to see to it that their children shouldn't eat non-kosher food. What about acherim, others? So others, mimanam shach. Some Rishonim said that others don't have any chinuch at all. Period. Not on esed, not on lois esed. It's only chinuch, is only parents on their children. And those all, the chinuch does apply to others. So they hold it only applies to mitzvah sase, it doesn't apply to lois sase. So we're machmer in both directions. We say with respect to mitzvah sase, the divin chinuch applies both to the parents and to acherim, and to strangers. And with respect to mitzvah lois sase, the chiv of chinuch only applies on the parents, it doesn't apply with respect to strangers. So mechab is machmer for those both opinions. That's right. Yeah, this is probably a cotton shul, lo yigei l'chinuch. If it would be a cotton shigil chinuch, but the child will be old enough to understand what pace is all about, then according to half of the Rishonim, you would have an issue of chinuch. That mitam chinuch, they have to see to it that the child does have pace, not to shave them off. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no third sheet that's machal between the Rishonim and the Rabbanim.
With respect to
this again, Yevamos was only talking about by malach shenetz v'chol gufa or a certain.
When you get to Kotnech on the, when you get to Lahachila Biyadayim, the Rashbod distinguishes when you get to Lahachila Biyadayim. The parents are not, no one is allowed Lahachila Biyadayim, only applies to Anisa Deraisa. To Anisa Derabanan, it doesn't apply. The Rambam says not so. The Rambam writes not like the Rashbod, that no one is permitted to feed a cotton, whether Anisa Deraisa or Anisa Derabanan. That's a different thing. That's a different topic, yeah. So again, so the Gemara says that from the time the Rav came to Babel, even Mikana Lahabod, it didn't change. There's one Pshat in Rashi and Taisus. Or the other Pshat is, no, Mechiyos, the Rav LaBabel, he told us, and from the time before the Churban Bayis Rishon, from the time of the Golas HaChorosh VaMazgah, there were always big Talmid HaChachamim in Babel. So Rav was Mepharsim that the din was always like that. From centuries before, the din was that Asar L'Gadol Behem Adaka, there it's Israel, even applies whenever there's a Jewish Yishuv. There is such a din, a choshe mishpah minigir too, if there's a Jewish neighborhood, let's say, Crown Heights, the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a tshuva about this 50 years, he printed a tshuva about this 50 years ago, that when Jews were moving out of Crown Heights, so they were selling their homes to non-Jews, to blacks, so this was ruining the whole neighborhood, so the Lubavitcher Rebbe printed a whole tshuva that it's awesome, it's keneged adin, there's a din in the Gemara in Baba Basra. That if there's a Jewish neighborhood, here we're talking about a Jewish neighborhood, farmers, there are farms, so you're not allowed to raise Behemadaka because the Jewish area is going to look awful, because Behemadaka is going to eat it. You have no choice. It's a gzeir shein rei vatzibi chodem lamed ba. But beima gasa, that's your chodem lamed. But beima gasa, we need for malacha. For masa in malacha, Rashi said, beima daka, you don't really need it. So on beima daka, they made a gzeir, that's your chodem lamed ba. Because the beima daka is going to graze, it's going to eat everything up, it's going to look awful. The Jewish neighborhood will look awful. So there's such a similar deal in the Gemara in Bava Basra that if there's a Jewish neighborhood, not with farms, Jewish farms, Jewish neighborhood where Jewish people live in homes, so you're not permitted to sell your home, the Jew is not permitted to sell his home to a non-Jew who will cause the other Jews to want to run away, like the blacks, that's Benoik Shabbat, if the blacks move into the neighborhood, so the Jews run away. And it'll cause the value of the property to go down. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe pinned the whole tshuva and they stopped selling to blacks. He preserved the crown house. They bought up the whole neighborhood then. But it applies not only to crown house, it applies to Borough Park and Flatbush. It applies whenever there's a Jewish neighborhood, not like Gagamar Jewish neighborhood with farms, but a Jewish neighborhood with homes where they live. So that's a din in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to depreciate the value of the property by selling to a non-desirable Jew, for that matter. Usually it's a non-desirable non-Jew, but if it's a non-desirable Jew, it'll be the same thing. Yeah. So the Gemara tells this story, that Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi, all three, attended Shavua HaBen. What is a Shavua HaBen? Another version has it, a Yeshua HaBen. The Rashi says, Shavua HaBen, that's a dead giveaway. When the baby was a week old. So they make a bris, that Shavua HaBen, Shavua is a week. What's Yeshua HaBen? So Rashi says Yeshua is like a Yeshua, a pidyon. So that means a pidyon haben. There was a party that covered the pidyon haben. Rashi says a mishter shows him the pidyon haben b'chor, because the word Yeshua in Aramaic is the word for purkan pidyon. Yeah. So he says that it's not the right kind of a word. Pidyon haben. How do you call it a Yeshua for the baby? Pidyon is a different thing. It's not called the Yeshua. So Rabbi Natan learns, no, it means the Shalom Zacha in Yerudeya, in Hilchas Mila. When the Ramah says that the Friday night before the Bris, the meaning is that you make a Shalom Zacha, so the Agra gives you the Makar, is this Tosus da Peyam and Aleph and Baba Kama, Yeshua HaBen. That's how Rabbi Natan translates. How does it fit in Yeshua HaBen? Because the Pasuk in Yeshaya has such an expression, the Himli To Zachor, that the baby is nosha from the mother's body. Havlad nosha v'nimlad mimei imay. The baby bounces out of the mother's body. That's in biblical Hebrew. That's called the himli tozacha. That's called the Yeshua. Okay. Whatever it was, either they were all attending a bris, or a pinyon haben, or a shalom zacha, some Jewish party. So they started standing on ceremonies. Who's going to go first? So Rav was the Rebbe of Rav Asi. So Rav Asi's not going to walk before Rav. And Rav Asi knew how to learn better than Shmuel. So Shmuel's not going to walk in front of... So you have Rav as the biggest Talmud Chacham, Rav Asi was his Talmud, and his Talmud, Rav Asi, knew how to learn better than Shmuel. So that should be the order. No, let Rav go in first, and after him goes Rav Asi, after him goes Shmuel. Problem is that Rav would not go ahead of Shmuel. Why not? So the Gemara says, Rav is much bigger than Shmuel. Rav is much greater than Shmuel, but the Gemara says, Milsa b'yalmahu di'ovad lay d'shmuel. He was mekabla on himself, Rav is mekabla on himself, he's going to show a lot of kavod to Shmuel. Shomahu ma'isa delatye, because he once cursed the Shmuel. What happened to Gemara Shabbos? Rashi says, Gemara Shabbos daf kuf ches tells the story that Shmuel was already in Bovel before Rav, and Shmuel was a doctor. Shmuel Yarchinoah, he was an astronomer, he was a doctor, Rav was only in learning. And Shmuel was a doctor and an astronomer, Torah Mat, he knew everything. But because he knew everything, so that's why his learning wasn't as great as Rav Asi, who was a Talmud of Rav. If you spread yourself too thin, so everything is going to be shvach. So what happened was that when Rav came to Bavel, so Shmuel realized that he was seasick or something, so he wanted to cure him. So he gave him food. He had him come to visit by him, and he gave him food, and he made him have diarrhea. And Rav got so angry at Shmuel, he didn't realize that Shmuel meant to cure him. So he got so angry, so he gave him a curse that he should never have any children. And his curse was fulfilled. That Shmuel never had any sons or children, whatever the story was there. And then he realized later that Shmuel meant to You didn't want to tell him that while you were busy learning the Marsha, as I was going to medical school, and this is the cure for your sickness. Shmuel didn't tell him that he was curing him. So Rab mistakenly gave him a curse, not realizing it. So from that time on, because of that, Mishumahu Maisa, the Lakye, that Rab cursed Shmuel improperly, Adberei Rab Alei. So Rab was makabel that he's always going to treat Shmuel with big derech eretz. So you have everyone is locked in over here. Rav Asi is not going to go ahead of Rav because Rav Asi is a Talmud of Rav. Shmuel can't go ahead of Rav Asi because Rav Asi knows I learn better than Shmuel. And Rav isn't going to go in front of Shmuel, even though that's the order, because of the Maisa Shehoya. So it's a deadlock. So the Gemara says on the second line, each one wouldn't go ahead of the other one. Amri says on the second line, so they said, Man Nisrach, one of the three Talmid Chacham should stay behind. The two of them should. Two out of the three should go first. Any two out of the three, there's a solution. Rav goes before Rav Asi, Rav Asi goes before Shmuel, Shmuel goes before Rav. Just when all three are together, then you're in a gridlock and you can't move. So let one of them stay behind. Let two of them go now. The two of them will be Masada. Who's going to go first? That's not a problem. And then later on, the one will walk in by himself. So how do they arrange it? Nisrach Shmuel. Then I say Rav Rabasi. So the decision was Shmuel will stay behind. Rav Asi will walk through first. And Rav goes before Rav Asi. He's the Rebbe. That's the L'chol HaDeis, no problem. And Shmuel will come in later. Fake Mar Kashim, Nisrach Rav Asi. Why did you come to that conclusion that Shmuel should go in later? Let either Rav stay behind or Rav Asi stay behind. So the Gemara says, no. Everything is very crystal clear what the Seder is. It's just that Rav had this bug. Rav had this, he was mekabel upon himself. He's going to show covet to Shmuel because he cursed him improperly. So Shmuel was the one who was making all the problems over here. The Seder of Kedimus, we know what it is. So that's what the Gemara says. That's why it didn't make sense to say that Rav should stay behind or that Rav Asi should stay behind. No, Rav Asi were greater than Shmuel. So that was clear. So Rav Asi went first and they were misadar among themselves. Rav goes first. Rav Asi says, Talmud goes second. He's less learned than Rav. And Shmuel's going to come in a minute later. Sure. As they were pilpulling about who's going to go first, who's going to go second, who's going to go third, so they were pilpulling and everybody was standing around watching this whole pilpul, covered atur. Nobody was watching the baby. Like I said before, who's watching the baby? Nobody was watching the baby. So a cat came and bit the baby's arm. Cut off the baby's arm, something. The baby was harmed by the cat. Cut to the other dinuka. So Rav said that's a tragedy. So Rav said, Chasul muta lahargavas of the kaimo, aimer mishum gezel, aimer mishum hashav aveil alabar. The Gemara says, what does it mean? Nofa grab the dorish? So the top Tosis says, mean, after this happened, after this occurred, after this occasion, so from that time on, Rav said, you see how dangerous it is. The Gemara says some cats yes, some cats no. Sometimes the cat is dangerous. The Gemara says Akasha Meisri. Rav Shimon Elazar Eimer, there are certain animals that you are allowed to be megavim. One of them was a cat. Why is it mutmadeisha similar nakavis abayis? Because cats can eat up the mice. We just had an Amun Aleph that to raise a cat at home is permissible. And now all of a sudden Rav says you're not allowed to raise a cat at home. So the teretz is simple. For generations, from Maimon HaSinayam, we thought that it's mutter to raise a cat. After the Maaseh Shoya, Rav said it's not allowed. You're not allowed to raise a cat. They never realized that there's a sakana. So what was the Gemara's kashuf in the Braise? The Braise, Rav Shimon Elazar and Amun Aleph, the Braise was written before the Maaseh Shoya. So the top Taisa says, Lo yatal ze Maaseh Tikin. Not that Rav Mikan al Abo decided that it's also del Gadol Chasul. The Parach Alomi Braise. The Gemara is going to ask a kasha from the Braise and Amun Aleph. So what's the kasha? Rav just invented a new Issa. No, on this occasion, Rav publicized the fact that there's an old tradition that the people forgot about, that there were certain cats. Certain cats are dangerous, certain cats are not dangerous. When the Tana says in the Braise, Muta Legadol Chasul, that's on one kind, a dark colored cat. And if it's a white cat, all the way back to Sheish Meibrei, white, all the way back. So those are dangerous cats. Right? Certain kinds of cats are dangerous, other kinds of cats are not dangerous. So you see that Rav is not the one who is inventing the din of this din mikan al habo. Lo yatal zel ma'aseh tikin. Rav didn't invent the din mikan al habo. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a kashif in the brayse. Elo dorash. Rav publicized the fact that mikoidem niskan, that there was such an altar din. He has a tradition. There always was such a din. So that's the Gemara. How can I have such a tradition? Is it contradicted by the Braisa? So the Gemara says, no. That's a white cat, this is a black cat. That's the Gemara, yeah. So the Gemara says, if someone is missing his cat, it's a mitzvah laharga. There's no mitzvah. This week's parsha has about Hashavas Aveda. There's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda on the cat. It's a mitzvah to shoot the cat. And then there's no Hashavas Aveda. Then it says, Eimo Mishim Gezel, you can steal the cat, you can shoot the cat, and there's no Hashavas Aveda. The Gemara says, Pshita is not a Kavachayma. Madach, there's no Gezel, you can shoot it, you can kill it. So, of course, no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So, the Gemara says, Amar Avina Li Oro. What if I find a dead cat? And it has on it a tag, and it says who it belonged to. This kind of a cat, that's dangerous. I found a dead one. So I would have thought, lahanoasoro, you have to give it back to its rightful owner. There's a mitzvah to shoot the cat because it's dangerous, and there's no isa mazik, and there's no isa gezel. If I normally, there's an isa gezel and mazik if I shoot your cat. Hey, there's no isa gezel, there's no isa mazik. But I would have thought, if I find a dead cat, so of course, and I know who the owner is, I should give it back to the owner. If she used the fur for some purpose or another. So that's where the Gemara says, no. Afilo lahanu asoro. There's no Hashavas Aveda even for the hide. They made a half kebez and half kan the whole camp. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, the second Tosfos, there is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Azev ariba doiba nova bardalis. You can kill without a bezin of 23. Usually need a bezin of 23 to be done din in the fashas for Adam and for Behema, even for Shor Sinai. We spoke about it on Thursday. I don't know if people heard. We're speaking about Shor Sinai. It says, Behema Mish Lo Yichya. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Sanhedrin that the Behema also needed a Bezin of 23. Then in the Fashas, the Behema also needs a Bezin of 23. Not only for Shor Niskan, for Shor Nirva, even for Shor Sinai. That a Shor wasn't allowed to go on Har Sinai. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says in the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, a long Mishnah, the first parak in Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah says, that these animals are so dangerous, azeva, ariva, doiva, nava, bardless, these wild animals, you don't need a bezin of 23, you can kill them without 23. So the Gemara has an achloike samarayim. What do you mean you can kill them? You can kill them if they kill the human being, so you don't need the formality of a bezin of 23, but you need they should have killed. So Tosfos has a kasha. One opinion is, davke hemisu, avlo hemisu lo, then you're not allowed to kill them. So how come over here it says that these white cats, whatever, some kind of white cat is dangerous, chivra. Uchmas, the dark cats are not dangerous, and chivra, the white cats are dangerous. So the white cats are dangerous, so it's a mitzvah to kill it, and made hefke bezin, shayin, afal pishalohim isu. So what happened to that opinion, machlok zabiechon reish lakish, in Sanhedrin, the end of the first parak, how to understand the Mishnah. So reish lakish comments that the only time you have a right to kill a zev, ariv, adav, anav, abardos, without a bezin on 23, is if hemisa, if lehemisa not. So how can it be over here that the cat, the white cat, is more common than a leopard, than a lion, ari, nomer, doiv, zeiv, bardalus? How can it be it's more common? So Tosfos gives the roots. That's when it's tied up. Here it's not tied up. Okay. They give the roots. Okay. Rapap, when you have a seum on a besichta, so you mention all the 10 cells of... Hanina Bapap, Rami Bapap, all of that. So the Gemara has over here, they had something they said over, and they wanted to say B'Shem Amra. So they weren't sure whether it's this son of Rapap said it, not the name of the other son. You got all the sons of Rapap here. Yeah, what kind of a meaning is that? That you mention all the sons of Rapap? What is that all about? So it says on the bottom of the page, to look in the Tshuvas of Ramah and the Yamshel Shloimei, but they give an explanation why he said Hanina Bapap, Rami Bapap, Nachman Bapap. What is this all about? Mention all the 10 sons of Rapa. So I think some say that they were killed at Kiddush Hashem. And the meaning is that they used to say, like a Kelmal Erachmem, L'zeich HaNishmas L'Kiddushim, like we say, for those who were killed in the Shoah. So that's what these 10 sons of Rapa were killed at Kiddush Hashem. That's not what they say. The Tshuvas are Ramo, and the others, they give other explanations. I don't know. Anyway, so the Gemara has over here, if they get through all of the names, so what did they say already? So they said Masri Malachichut B'Shabbos. That's a halacha, and then Hashkafa B'Delas Hananelas Lebe Meheriti Poseach. Then the third one is Vaita Halacha. So what is it mixed together? Halacha and a psychology and a halacha. Alakech Bais Beretzol Kosem Alamon Afilu B'Shabbos. Yeah. So what's the first one? Masri Malachichut. Rashi explains Chichut some kind of shchin. if there's an epidemic, that there's a plague of boils, so you should be mispavav on Shabbos. And Rashi translates Masri means you blow shofars or chatzitzes. Which do you blow? Should you blow the shofar? Should you blow the chatzitzes? And the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that on a kind of sibur you blow chatzitzes. Al atzar atzar eschem, and something goes wrong. Shofar you blow on Rosh Hashanah. And chatzitzes you blow on a tiny sibur. The Mishnah says in the Beis Hamikdash, kol makom sheyesh shofar yesh chatzitzes, kol makom sheyesh chatzitzes yesh shofar. The Mishnah is based on the pasuk in Tehillim. Lifnei HaMelech Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Har HaBayis, the Gemara says, the Har HaBayis on the Azara. On Rosh Hashanah, when you blow Shofar, you should blow Chatzotzes with it. And on Taina Sipo, when you blow Chatzotzes, you should blow Shofar with it. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there is no such thing. So we only blow on Rosh Hashanah, we only blow Shofar. And if there would be a Taina Sipo, we would only blow Chatzotzes. That's a big problem. Why don't we ever blow Chatzotzes? Why don't we ever blow Chatzotzes? Some say because we don't really have a tzoras hatzibur. The tzoras that we have are tzoras hayochid. The mitzvah of chatzotzus is chisav l'mechalam b'yartzachem ala tzara tzareis ha-hariyosim ha-chatzotzus. That's if it's a tzoras hatzibur. But if it's only tzoras hayochid, then you don't blow chatzotzus. So you mean it's only called tzoras hatzibur if it's Eretz Yisrael. Melchama b'Eretz Yisrael. That's how Samir Shem say. Melchama b'Eretz Yisrael. Or an epidemic in Eretz Yisrael. Even if the population in Eretz Yisrael is minuscule. Even if the Jewish population is greater in Antwerp and in Zurich and in New York than the whole Eretz Yisrael, happens that now it's not. But for many years it was. That the Jewish population in Eretz Yisrael was not the majority of the world Jewish population. Still, any tzora that befalls the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called tzora satzibur. So we sometimes have a tzora satzibur. We say, Achmona Latzlan, you have Melchamas in Eretz Yisrael. Last summer there was Melchama in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a question. How come they don't blow Chatzotzes? Atzoras Hatzibur in Eretz Yisrael, so they're supposed to blow Chatzotzes, a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Magid Mishnah has an answer, but it's against all the Gemara, it's against all the Mishnahs. He says, the only time you blow Chatzotzes is if it's Chatzotzes shel Beis HaMikdash. If you make your own Chatzotzes, that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Har Yosem HaChatzotzes. Has to be chatzitzes shel Beis HaMikdash. Isn't that against the Gemara? The Gemara said the fair that this din, komak m'sheish chatzitzes yeshefer, komak m'sheish chatzitzes, that's only in Beis HaMikdash. Outside of Beis HaMikdash, on a tiny sibi, only below chatzitzes, not shefer. And a Rosh Hashanah, yom lo shefer, yom lo chatzitzes. How can the Magid Mishnah say that the whole mitzvah of chisav l'mechama b'yatzachem al atzar sarasam, hariyesem chatzitzes, only applies but if you're using chatzitzes shel Beis HaMikdash? It's against the Gemara. Pella. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about in the first Chelek Arachayim, I think. He tries to be miyashiv that Magid Mishnah. It's problematic. Why don't we ever blow chatzotzes today? So some Rishonim say, Ein tainis siba bebavo. Ein tainis, Loshon HaGemara in tainis, Daf Yadav. Ein tainis siba bebavo, chutz mitisha bo v'yom HaKippur. So there's no tzoris. The Jews never suffered any tzoris. Everything was rosy for the Jews for the last 2,000 years. Jews never suffered. What do you mean? Hey, Tainis Sibur Bavo is a different thing. There's no bezin to be goes a Tainis. Tainis Sibur, unless it's a Yom Kippur, the Gemara says Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av was already Nigza. Yom Kippur is a din d'arayis, it's a Tainis Sibur and Tisha B'Av was Nigza a long time ago. But the bezin in New York should be goes a Tainis. Which bezin? What bezin? Agudas Rabban is going to be goes a Tainis, and the others are going to laugh at them. The RCA is going to be goes a Tainis, they're going to laugh at them. The Igud is going to goes a Tainis, everyone's going to laugh at everyone else. There is no central authority, it's what the Gemara says. Ain't tiny sibur bebavo because there is no nasi in Eretz Yisrael. There was a nasi, and there was a central authority, so they had the ability to be great at times. But does it mean that there's never any tzoras hatzibur? It's very mishver. It's a big problem. Why no one blows chatzotzes bezman hazeh? It's a mitzvah in the Torah. The Rama Hilchas Taina starts off like that. In the Torah, there's a mitzvah to blow chatzotzes whenever there's a tzoras hatzibur. True, and a tzoras hayochid, you don't blow chatzotzes. And a tzoras hatzibur, you do blow chatzotzes. And then the Rambam says, "In mid the Rabbanon, you should be misana. Whenever there's an es tzora, there's a mitzvah mid the Rabbanon to be misana. But on the level of the rice, there is a mitzvah of tkiyas chatzitz. It's a problem. Anyway, so Rashi interprets over here that whoever this Rapapa was, Chanina Bapapa, Acha Bapapa, Abba Bapapa, Chia Bapapa, almost all the 10 sons. Yeah, Ada Bapapa. Yeah, that's 5 out of the 10 sons. Yeah. So he said three dinim. So the first din is that if you have an epidemic of chichuch, which is shchin, that's so dangerous, that's a tzoras hatzibur, yibloch hatzoitzis, afilu b'shabbos. Masrim ala chichuch b'shabbos. Now, it's a question the Gemara discusses there in Maseches Tainis. Masrim can be interpreted b'peh, that you say a tefillah, you say aneinu. Tosfos quotes Masrim, hasro b'peh b'aneinu, you add on a tefillah satainis, or hasro b'chatzoitzis. So that's a shayla. So Rashi interprets over here, Masrim means yibloch hatzoitzis even on Shabbos. What's the issue? What's the prohibition? Usually there's an issa derabbanan, mashmir kol. You're not allowed to blow a trumpet. Chatzotz is a metal trumpet. Usually there's an issa derabbanan, mashmir kol. You're not allowed to play a musical instrument on Shabbos Yantiv, Gzeri Shem Yisak and Klishi. But over here it's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Chisav v'chal v'alat ha-reyes v'chatzotz, mitzvah min ha-Torah. So that's how Rashi learns the first din that the son of Rapapa said, Masrim al achichil b'Shabbos. He even blow chatzitzris on Shabbos. Veg Gemar kasha neisve. How can it be? Ushaparon is how mistrach shavos al atzibi kigon chichuch. That's what he's talking about, etc. Lohay masrim al atzok. It says you don't blow chatzitzris on Shabbos. You say tilim. You say tefillas. So the Gemara says, so how can he say that he blow chatzitzris? The Gemara says, loy kasha kambalach kambiyavish. It depends how serious the epidemic is. Which one is worse? Yavish is worse. If it's Yavish on the inside, Lach on the outside, if it's Yavish is worse than Lach. Kambalach kambi Yavish. If it's Lach, then you don't, they only offer tefillos on Shabbos, you don't blach atzitzis. But if it's Yavish, then it's considered more serious than Lach. Rashi writes, Yavish koshim ilach is more problematic, bigger epidemic. A greater epidemic. What was the third thing that he said? The second thing was a matter of hashkafa. What's the issue? If you attempted to do something and you failed, wanted to become the president of Yeshiva University. They didn't elect me. What can I do? So the question is, so they elected Mr. Joe. So should I still shlug kappen vach? Should I still say tillim? Should I still keep on bribing all the members of the board? Or should I give up for the next 10 years? When I'll be 95 years old, maybe then they'll appoint me president. Next 10 years, I lost out. So he says, forget it. Lo b'meheret yipasech. If the door was locked on you, he said, don't shlug your cup and vach. That's what Rashi says. Delos an enelos al ha'odom. Lo b'meheret yipasech. V'naf kimina lafushi b'rachmi. What does it mean, lafushi b'rachmi? To daven extra. So what does it mean? Don't break your head. Don't daven so much. You're not going to get there. Don't waste your time davening. You're just asking for something that's too difficult. Okay. What was the third thing that he said? The third thing that he said is, this Amor, whoever he was, the son of Rapapa, so he said, Halakech b'ayis b'eretz yisor, Rashi says, from a goy. Halakech b'ayis min anochrin. If you purchase a home from a non-Jew, kos malavon afilu b'shabbos. You're allowed to write to Shtar Mechira. It's such a big mitzvah. That's the Zionists say like that. Such a big mitzvah to establish the Medina, to redeem the land from the Arabs. You can even be Mechal Shabbos, you can even give up the whole religion. How can that be? B'Shabbos Zalka Daitach, what? Redeeming the land, buying the land up from the Arabs is such a big mitzvah. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. It's Loyola La Das, Zalka Daitach. Can you imagine such a thing? Eli Gemara says, Kidioma Rabbe Hossam. Just like Rabbi said over there in a different context. What's the other context? The Gemara says, then gittin daf ches. The Gemara says, one who buys a kind of sada b'Surya, one who buys a field in Surya from a non-Jew, kigone b'parvare Yerushalayim, is as important to buy up the fields from the Arabs in Surya, is as important as buying up in the outskirts b'parvare Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, l'may naf gemine, even to buy up lands from the Arabs in Syria. So the Gemara said, how can that be? What, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? So Rava said over there in Gitzin, in that context, it means that Amir and Anochri is Mutas. So just like Rav interpreted over there, so too will interpret this member of Rav Acha Bar Papa over here also. It goes on Amir and Anochri. What happened to this Amir and Anochri? Rav gav Amir and Anochri Shkusi, Shemisha Beretzisol, the Gozvei Rabbanon. The Makam Yishav Eretz Yisrael, the day when Mekom. So this is a big machlekes arishani. What does this mean? It means the Yishuv Eretz is also a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. So Amir Lanachar is mutar like a mitzvah. So that's what the Ramah quotes in the name of the Balu Iter. Balu Iter is one of the Balu Yateses. He thinks that it's lav davki, Yishuv Eretz, the mitzvah to establish a Medina is not more important than any other mitzvah. It's a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. So Amir Lanachar is mutar on any mitzvah.
Sure.
So the Ramah says we don't follow that opinion. The Ramah quotes it, I think, in Reish Ein Vav. So Ramah says we don't follow that opinion. So what does it mean? Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael Gazbe Rabbanu. Why is it mutar? So some Rishonim still they don't want to admit. They don't want to say that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a bigger mitzvah than any other mitzvah. They say no, it's mutar because it's a shvuz d'shvuz b'makom mitzvah is mutar. Shvuz d'shvuz b'makom mitzvah is mutar. Who says it? Talking shvuz d'shvuz. So they say, what script is the goy going to write around? The goy knows how to write ksav ashuris. The only two scripts, that's what these Rishonim said. The only two scripts that the halacha recognizes that it's an isa malacha of kosev on Shabbos is if you write either in ksav ashuris or in ksav yevonis. Where'd they get this idea from? Because the Mishnah in Gittin talks about a get. A get has to be b'ksav kosev alo sefer krisus. So the Mishnah only says if the get is written in ksav ashuris and the witness is signed in yevonis. So the get is written in yevonis and the witness is signed in ashuris. Mishnah only talks about a get written in Yevanis or Ashuris. Why should I insist Dafke Yevanis or Ashuris? This is based on a Mishnah and Megillah. The Daf Yomi people, I think, just learned it today. Mishnah Megillah says that a Sefer Torah can only be written in Ksav Ashuris or in Ksav Yevanis. Where you come off with the Ksav Yevanis, that's based on the Pasuk in Parshas Noach. Yafta Lukim Liyefes V'yishkin Ba'ol Hashem that Yaf Yifusa Shol Yefes Tia B'Yohol Hashem. So that goes on Ksav Yevanis. So if anyone writes in English or in Arabic or in any other script, any other alphabet, that's only ksivim in the Rabbanan. How can it be it's only ksivim in the Rabbanan? So according to the Rambam, it's impossible. The Rambam holds that if you draw a picture, if you make a tzura, a tzor tzura is a chai mishum kosev. You don't have to write letters. So obviously these Rishonim hold that if you draw a picture, you're not chai. They hold it only applies to writing, and they hold the only two scripts that are recognized are ksav ashuris, even Hebrew. If you write the way we write, written Hebrew, Rashi script or ksav what the script that we write, that's not that wouldn't be chayiv mishum kaisiv. That's atzar tzura. So this whole pshat is only nitan lehayomer if you don't accept the Rambam. Rashi doesn't accept the Rambam. Rashi holds that this is a machlekes hatanoim, whether if you make a tzura, make a picture, you chayiv or not. And the machlokes in the Mishnah and Masechah Shabbos, and Rashi learns that the accepted opinion is that you only chayiv if you write letters from an alphabet, a recognized alphabet. If you just make a picture, you're not chayiv. Okay. So on that assumption, so these Rishonim claim that Allah only recognizes two written alphabets, either ksav ashuris or ksav yevonis. Spoken languages we do recognize. Let's say Kriyat Shema Ne'emaris B'chol Oshem, machlokes hatanoim. So we pass, and one can fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema in translation. So if you say in translation in other languages, other than in Yevanis, is also good. Would also be acceptable. But as far as written languages, so this is Achidish. These are very few Rishonim say like that. That the Halacha only recognizes two written languages, two scripts, Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevanis. But the Mishnah says Beferish and Masach Shabbos, Hakaisa B'chol Loshen Chayiv. The Mishnah Berurah is that kash. It says in the Mishnah, so how can you say that if you write in English, if you write in Arabic, if you write in Chinese, Japanese, you write in a different script, you're not chayv? So the Mishnah Berurah says no. Kaisa b'chaloshen means you're transliterating. I'm writing in Hebrew script, Chinese words. Let's say I'm writing. The Mishnah says in Megillah that a Megillah can be written b'chaloshen. So how can you have a Megillah written in English if the Allah only recognizes Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevanis? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, no. It's, the Megillah is written in Hebrew characters, but it says, and it came to pass in the days of Achashverosh, and Aleph Nun Dalet, it, Aleph Yud Tes, came, Kuf Yud Yud Met, came, two Pes, Tezva, Pes, it's transliterated. It's written in Hebrew characters in Ksav Ashuris, but it's an English sentence. So that's what the Mishnah means in Megillah. That's what the Mishnah means in Megillah. That's what the Ramah says like that. That the Mishnah Megillah talks about Nichta B'chol Oshayin, It's only written in Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Yevanis. The halacha only recognizes those two alphabets as alphabets, but the language, we recognize all languages, but the alphabets we only recognize two. So that's what a very minority opinion in Rishonim said. What the Gemara means, what language is the Goy going to write already? What script is going to write? He's going to write in Arabic. He doesn't know he's going to write in English. He does not know how to write Ksav Ashuris. Most Jews don't know how to write Ksav Ashuris. We write script. He's not going to write Ksav Yevanis. No one knows how to write Ksav Yevanis in his manazah. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, Ksav Yevanis disappeared a bit. No one knows how to write Ksav Yevanis. So the Rambam quotes such an opinion in Hilchos Shabbos. That Kos V'Valamon Afila B'Shabbos is only mutter if he's writing, here they tell you in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, letter Vav Zayin, so they tell you where the Rambam is in Shulchan Aruch. So if you look there, the Rambam says that this heter only applies if the Nochri is writing the Shtar in some script other than Ivris or other than Yevanis or Ashuris. So it's a Shvuz the Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah, that's why it's mutter. The whole heter is only Shvuz the Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah. Yeah, this is very shver. We don't really pass like that. Mishnah Brurah says you shouldn't follow that Ramah. Mishnah Brurah says even if it's being typed in Hebrew letters, even if it's being typed in Ksav Ashuris, is also mutter. Because of Ramah Afilu B'Shabbos. That's not what the Gemara means to say. Shvuz the Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah is a big machlekes. Tosfos quotes the two opinions. Big machlekes in the Rishonim based on the Gemara in Erevin. Tosfos has the whole discussion. The Gemara says in Erevin that there was a baby that needed a bris on Shabbos. In the days of the Tanoim, before they would perform the bris on the baby, they would bathe the baby with warm water to prevent infection later on. Today we don't do it. Today we have antiseptics that prevent the infection. So we don't bathe the baby with warm water before the bris. But in the days of the Tanoim, so the Gemara tells a story. The baby was born on Shabbos. The bris is scheduled for next Shabbos. And they had hot water, and all the hot water in their apartment spilled out, or they drank it out, whatever. Ishtapech hamim, all the hot water spilled out. And they had to get hot water from another neighboring apartment, but there wasn't an erevich hatzeris to carry. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, ask a nochri to carry a nechotz sheinim orevis. Because to carry a nechotz sheinim orevis only in Issa de Rabbanon, and to ask a nochri is only the Rabbanon. So that's a shuz, the shuz, b'maka mitzvah, so that's mutter. So that's the whole mocker of this idea. The shvus is mutter b'makam mitzvah. But some rishonim, some of the Baalei Tosfos insist that it's only mutter b'makam mitzvah is milah, because milah b'zman is decha Shabbos. The milah is such a chamedik mitzvah. Milah is decha Shabbos. Even though we paskin mechshirei milah, I'm not decha Shabbos. The hachanas that are made in advance of the bris, I'm not decha Shabbos. That's machlekes ablezer nachachamim. Ablezer ben Hurkinis. That's how the Mishnah begins. Perek ablezer the milah. Starts off like that. Rabbi Lezer holds that even Machshirei Milah Derecha Shabbos, we don't pass like that. So even though we pass Machshirei Milah not Derecha Shabbos, but if it's a Shvuz de Shvuz by Milah, then we would be Megal. And so the 2 days I mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and the accepted opinion is that it's always Mutter. Shvuz and Shvuz, but Makom Mitzvah is always Mutter. But to say that that's Pshat over here, that the Nochri is going to write B'Shar L'Shoynes, and Shar L'Shoynes only the Rabbanon, we don't really hold like that. So the Aruch HaShulchan goes so far as to say that the Ramon never wrote that Hagosa Ramon, that some wise guy printer put it in. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't go so wild. What do you mean? A wise guy printer put it in. It's not by the Ramon. And all the old editions, it does appear in the Ramon. So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, the Ramon says it. We don't accept the Ramon's opinion. We paskin that Kasvav Alamon, Afila B'Shabbos, is mutter, even if the Nochri is going to write Ksiva Deraisa. We hold that it's Ksiva Deraisa, even in English, even in Chinese. Even in Japanese, it's also Ksiva Deraisa. We don't really hold like that opinion. So it's not the pshat that Amir Liyakim is mutter b'makam any mitzvah, and it's not the pshat that it's the shvuz b'makam mitzvah. So what is the pshat? So the kipshuto, it means that the mishum eretz yisrael is a bigger mitzvah than other mitzvahs, a more important mitzvah than the chachamim will make. So that's the question exactly. Why should that be so? Why is the mitzvah yishuv eretz yisrael greater? What does it mean yishuv eretz yisrael? So maybe we'll pick up tomorrow. Should we learn Gemara tomorrow? Parshas Mishpatim, we're learning a whole year. No, Bava Kama, we're learning a whole year. Maybe we'll do some, I haven't done any Gemara this week. Maybe we'll do some more Gemara tomorrow, okay? So I'll try to give a shiur tomorrow, believe that, at normal time. Won't be a normal shiur, but be normal time.
This is here in the Shabbos, a different day. That what?
Between Gil, Chinuch, and Lo Gil.
based on this, not in the after the law of Yilchum. Because he says all the kashas, the Gemara could have answered in Yilchumis, Shiloh Yilchum. So that's a third shush.
Yilchum, the baby's doing on his own? Okay.
But your Av, because the Av might be, the Av is Mechayim, the Shiloh Yilchum.
Father's also not.
I love
you. You're
going to
also, only also lachila biyadai. He's not allowed to feed his baby biyadai.